Hello and welcome to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians to get their perspective on their music, their history, and the world around their art. On this show, your host Garrison Reed sits down with Andrew Kinney of American Analog Set. Andrew discusses choosing arts and crafts, the impact of Brooklyn on Set Free, and making the decision to discontinue touring.
The last couple of records have been geared towards songs we like to play and the kinds of things we like to do live, because we knew we were going to do lots of touring for the records. But I don't know, the next thing we do is definitely going to be more like a recording project and less like a scrapbook of what the band sounds like at the moment.
American Analog Set's 2005 release, Set Free, is the evidence of a hardworking band, nonstop touring, losing and shifting labels, and geographically divided bandmates. Here's a snippet of The Green Green Grass from the band's recent full-length, Set Free. The band has just finished their final national tour, which ended December 11th in their hometown of Austin. The band is now working on a future singles and compilation recording.
After the fall of Tiger Style, how did the band come to land at Arts and Crafts?
Well, I guess Tiger Style closed when we were a few days into making Set Free. And we kind of committed ourselves to making this record and finishing it on our own. So for a while, we just didn't even look for a label. And after the record was done, and that was 13 months later, we made it a point to first contact all the labels that had contacted us over the course of that year and asked us what we're up to. And so we kind of wrote people back and said, okay, now we're done, and now we're ready to share this with you. And so we're sending these CDs out, and we sent, I don't know, maybe a baker's dozen CDs out just in one day. And that was pretty much the people that we sent them to were the only people that we ended up really talking to. There's other people that requested CDs, but it was more of a, like, I acknowledge that you're a band, you acknowledge that I'm a label, send me a CD, like, but I'm not really interested kind of thing. So, but we kind of played along with a lot of other labels as well that just definitely were not interested. Arts and Crafts were the first label that we talked to. And, you know, it would just, looking back, it seems like all roads were pointing there, because Kevin Drew was a big fan of ours for a long time, and he was kind of our ambassador to Arts and Crafts and just kept us on the radar there over the course of the year. And we like all the bands on the label. We could imagine ourselves touring with them, and we had a number of criteria that we wanted a label that was this, that did these kinds of things and had this kind of profile and what, and we just had a short list of things that we wanted in a label, and Arts and Crafts were it on every count. And so they were the first label we talked to, and obviously the last label we talked to, and it just seemed like the right place to be. And looking back, it seems like, oh gosh, yeah, it's really a fine fit, especially artistically. Like, I imagine ourselves touring with every band on the label, and I'm a fan of every record that they put out. So it's a good place.
We also kind of talked about size-wise.
Size-wise, that was one of the criteria. Like, we wanted a label that was... We didn't want to be the smallest band on a label, because we had been that the previous year with Wall of Sound, and that was really a miserable experience. Not just because they were too big for us, or it was more because we're a hard band to market, but they definitely didn't come at the project with very much love, because they weren't really used to doing that. They had a formula, and they applied it, and we definitely didn't fit the mold. And we didn't want to be the biggest band on a label, because we had done that, and with EJ, and Craig was fine to work with, but it was just one guy, and he had a full-time job, and he did this on the side, and you know, we tour a lot. you know, of course this is the last tour, but like we've played, I don't know, 500 shows over the last 6 years or so. And so, I don't know, I wanted somebody to kind of work as hard as we were working to help market our records. And so Arts and Crafts was right in the middle. And also, they have bands that are much bigger than us on the label, which was kind of, I mean, it sounds silly to say, but it was really important. Like, I wanted somebody that knew how to sell records. And just because, I mean, we know that we're not going to sell enough records to support ourselves or make this a career, but we wanted a little different experience. Like, we've been doing this long enough that we can pick a label based on what kind of experience we might have, and not just because we think, you know, they're going to be the ones that break us, because no label on the planet could break the American Analog set. Like, you know, we're not one Carson Daly performance away from selling hundreds of thousands of records. Like, we do what we do, and the labels that we talk to do that too, including Arts and Crafts. So they didn't expect us to be a Broken Social Scene or even a Stars. They didn't expect us to, you know, reach, you know, that many people. You know, it was more of a, I think, hopefully on both of our parts, more of an artistic decision. But yeah, it was important that they had bands that sold a lot of records. They at least knew how to do things efficiently enough to sell a lot of records. And also they were interested in breaking new bands. Like, we thought, you know, maybe we'll do some shows with some of their larger bands. And maybe if it works out, we could take some of the younger acts out. And even though we play small shows, we can guarantee them an audience, because we have, you know, thankfully, we have a pretty good following. So, yeah, it was a good fit.
In the post on the website, it says that the band is taking this hiatus, and you're going to be working on your own work as far, and in addition to future American Analog songs. How is your solo approach?
Well, I guess I don't know how to write a lot of different kinds of songs, and really, the American Analog set is, I mean, I love the project because I get to do what I want to do, and the guys are a great backup band, so the songs for the last couple of years that I've been putting aside to be part of this next project that I do were the ones that they didn't make sense with drums or bass or keyboards. And I thought, okay, I'm not going to keep forcing these on the Analog set. I'm going to start putting these to the side and put the songs that sound well, put the songs that work well together. And it's definitely going to be a smaller sounding project, and you know, it's not like I need to reinvent how I write songs or anything. It's just more like sometimes I write things that don't make sense in the band environment, and I've always wanted to, I mean, I don't even know if I'll ever get as far as releasing it or anything. It's just, that's what I want to do next, because I like recording and I like writing, and I want to give that a shot and just see what it sounds like, because except for the demos, I've never done anything really on my own. I mean, the home EP that I did with Ben, I mean, those songs, as proud of them as I am, I mean, are pretty much on the same level as the demos that we just put on the website and give away for free. So I'd like to do something that was a little bit more fleshed out than that, but obviously not with Mark playing drums or drums at all. I want to involve percussion and possibly the vibraphone, but mainly, you know, electric and acoustic guitar and percussion and some, I don't know, just having some other people help me make the songs complete, just to try something different. But does it actually say hiatus on the website? I've never actually read the statement, but I mean, it's not like, I think of it as more of like a gear shift, because I mean, we're right away going to start putting songs together for the singles and unreleased compilation, and Mark and I have already talked about what we might like the next Analog set record to sound like. So it's not like any of us are really thinking that we're not going to be recording or making music for any length of time. It's more like we're just not going to tour again. And so, I don't know, hiatus is a weird word to use, because we're not going to leave for a little while and then come back you know, playing 100 shows a year again. When we come back, it's more like we're going to immediately start working on something else and just not tour for it, and intentionally write the kind of songs that we might not have to tour for.
But you couldn't keep a little church mouse, not with all the money in your purse now, not for all the liquor in the church house, for the pussy keeping watch now.
Last couple of records have been geared towards songs we like to play and the kinds of things we like to do live, because we knew we were going to do lots of touring for the records. But I don't know, we're going to, the next thing we do is definitely going to be more like a recording project and less like a scrapbook of what the band sounds like at the moment.
I read that you were unhappy with the way the home EP worked out. What, well, I guess two parts. You said that you would plan to re-record some of those, maybe?
Definitely.
And why? What is the disappointment in it?
Well, I was just disappointed because I just know I can do a better job. It's not just because everything was on there was recorded in 48 hours, and like I just did it over a weekend because it was time to have it turned in. I mean, I was a little bit rushed, and I'm bummed out because of that, but if I would have had my very, very meager home studio set up, I just could have done a little bit better job recording the songs, and I think they're performed fine. I mean, I think they're good renditions of the songs, but Church Mouse, for instance, just is much better on electric guitar, and it just is a song that was written to be on electric guitar, and it just sounds much better. And I think Secrets of the Heart just sounds a lot better on my nylon string guitar, but as it was, you know, I borrowed a guitar to record that, and I borrowed a microphone to record those songs. And, you know, I didn't even have a tuner, and so I don't even know if those songs are in tune. Like, I turned on a CD and kind of tuned it while I was listening to a CD. Hopefully that means it was kind of in tune with the CD, but, I mean, I had nothing. I was in New York and renting a room in an apartment, and, you know, I had nothing. And so it's just, I know it's not the best I can do, and it seems I feel a little bad because I like those songs so much. I would have hoped I could have done a better job recording them, but I played them not just adequately. Like, I'm happy with the way it's played. If I would have had instruments that would have been more appropriate for the song, like songs, I could have done a much better job. But I mean, I don't dislike the songs. I love those songs, so it's more just, I know I could do a better job.
Yeah. After Promise of Love was released, you said that the move to Brooklyn hadn't impacted your writing. Now that you've been there for a while, do you feel that it's
Well, I would say definitely, but probably not in the ways that would be immediately perceptible. I mean, Promise of Love, even though it came out a year after I moved to New York, was recorded the spring and the summer before I moved to New York. We wrote and recorded Promise of Love. We tracked almost everything in that spring, then went out that summer touring for Updates, and played almost all of the songs live that summer. And then I went to graduate school and worked on it kind of in the evenings. I finished it up over Christmas break. You know, it was definitely not the best case scenario. So I will say, obviously, I didn't write any of the songs living in Brooklyn, so it couldn't have affected it. But I think a big reason why Set Free was made And a big reason why I feel like I really had to make Set Free was because I hadn't finished the stories that I started on Know By Heart and on Promise of Love, that I much in the way the first three records were kind of a series to me. I think Know By Heart and Promise of Love were also kind of a series, and just the writing and lyrically, the lyrics were a lot more important on those, on Know By Heart and Promise of Love. Like, I spent a lot more time working on them and a lot more proud of them. And for that reason, I really feel like Know By Heart introduced characters. And even though a lot of the songs are kind of pathetic, I mean, they are about falling in love in one way or another. And almost all the songs on Promise of Love are, you know, about, you know, people that are in love having to make decisions and being forced into choosing between things. And it's very much like a second act of a play where, you know, here's the characters and okay, now here's something that happens to them. And then, I don't know, I wanted to see how things resolved. And also, I just didn't get to spin Promise of Love the way I wanted to. I really liked the song so much. But they were recorded a little quickly, and I could have done a lot better job, which is another reason why it took us 13 months to make Set Free, because we were extremely patient and with just, you know, every aspect of the recording and the writing. So, I don't know, I think Set Free did, or I think Brooklyn did kind of influence the way that I wrote the songs on Set Free, but it was less about writing songs about the L train or writing songs about, you know, just how bad the alley behind my building smells or something. And it was more because I needed to see what happened to those people that I wrote about earlier, and what happened in Brooklyn just to my friends and to myself ended up being how the story was finished. Like, I really thought after Promise of Love, I really wanted to see, like, you know, is there going to be a happy ending to these stories? Like, a sad ending? Like, what happens to baby Julie? Like, you know, Aaron and Maria, like, did, you know, if Come Home, Baby Julie, Come Home was what happened to Aaron and Maria after they put it together, you know, how did it end? And, like, I wanted, even though they're not about always about the same people, sometimes they are and just the names are different, and so I really wanted to see if it was a happy ending or a sad ending. And a lot of what I learned in my first week or first year in Brooklyn was you know, that it's never a happy ending, it's never a sad ending. Like, it's just never that easy. It's always like just losing everything but then having something that you had all along that was really whip-ass, and that's awesome. Or it's getting what you wanted and realizing, oh, it's not what I wanted. And it's like, well, now I'm stuck with it. Yeah. And so, you know, maybe the green, green grass is what happened to Aaron and Maria. You know, like, maybe they put it together, but there's always the other man in the background. And so, you know what? Now we can't fight. Now we can't. I'm paralyzed because if I make a misstep, you're just going to go to him, you know? And so, maybe Born on the Cusp is what happened to him. You know, maybe they did get together, but only briefly, and, you know, they just had a fight in a front yard and never talked to each other ever again. You know, like, maybe that happened, and that was a good thing, even though they didn't get what they wanted. So I had to finish the story. And so Brooklyn, it did influence the writing, because what happened to me and what happened to, you know, friends in the same way that I was writing about kind of the same people on Know By Heart and Promise of Love, like figuring out what happened to them and then translating it into the songs about, you know, less real people. Mm-hmm. Like, it definitely influenced. I mean, it's not all so black and white. I mean, some of these stories are fictitious, of course. Yeah. You know, She's Half is one of my favorite songs on the record, but, you know, never been in love with some Japanese girl that worked at a roller land or something. Yeah. Like, that just happened to be a good song.
Did the fact that it took so long to make Set Free influence y'all's kind of wariness on going back on road? Had it already
happened concurrently. The two decisions, I mean, they were happening at the same time, but one didn't necessarily cause the other. I mean, the process of writing and recording Set Free was, on our parts, like, going to be a much more involved process than anything we had done before. And we said, you know what, for what we learned on Know By Heart and Promise of Love, was that we make this record and these songs get better on the road. And it just happens. Like, you just learn how to play them better, and some things get moved around and lyrics get better and everything. And so, you know what, let's write, tour, come back, write, tour, record. And that's what we did. We wrote and then toured, and then came back and wrote some more, and then toured, and then we started recording, and then stopped to write some more, and then toured, you know, and then came back, recorded, toured, recorded, toured, and then recorded, and finished the record. So we knew it was, by the time we finished recording it, we had played a lot of these songs live. We hadn't killed them, but they had been played enough that we thought they were better, and so we were better at playing them. And so we thought, we've not just because we've played these songs a lot, but I mean, we're not a real band in the traditional sense. Like, this is more like a club. Like, we're friends and we like to hang out together, and writing songs and touring is kind of what we do to have fun in our little club, you know. And out of friendship and not musicianship is what I mean to say. And so we thought, you know, it's kind of weird that we've been doing this for 10 years and we're still friends. Like, that's pretty eerie. Like, either we're too stupid to break up, which is some of it, or maybe we should count our blessings and say, it's great that we're still friends. And so let's make this our last tour and have fun and not announce it so we can get people to shows. Let's book the tour. So we're going to play in kind of smaller places because we like playing in smaller places. Then announce, hey, it's our last tour. So it's not like we're trying to, you know, pony up a bunch of people in the club. It's more like, we're going to play the places we normally play, but we're just going to let people know, just so you don't stay at home because you think we'll be back in 6 months, because under normal circumstances we would. So then we announced it and said, you know what, it's our first time in Japan. It was awesome. It was our best tour in Europe. Awesome. We're doing these three legs in the States, and they've all been really enjoyable because we've been with bands and other people that we like and playing in clubs. Tonight at Trees being an obvious exception, but we're playing in places that we've played before that we like a lot. And so it's, I don't know, it's, I mean, I don't think our band is victorious necessarily, but it is a bit of a victory lap, you know, like, hey, let's just go have this, let's have this be how we remember touring, playing with the bands we like, playing for the people that we like to play for, playing in the clubs we like to play, and playing the songs that we're most proud of because we've practiced them a lot and toured on them, and it's our favorite record that we've made together. So that's the way we wanted to remember it. And so it wasn't like the recording process was so long and it made us not want to be a band anymore. It's more like, I know you asked this question 30 minutes ago, but it's more like while we were recording, it occurred to us that this is going to be the kind of the best record that we've made because we're making sure it is. And but we know it's going to be kind of like the last record with this lineup, with these kinds of songs. And so why don't we make this also the best tour we've ever done by engineering it to be so.
Yeah.
And not make it an investment for future touring. Like, let's just do what we like to do and have it be good.
Yeah. I guess it's too early to ask this, but do you have any withdrawal? Or not withdrawal, but like hesitation to saying this?
Not at all. I feel like everything our band never had a mission statement, but if it did, it would just be to kind of just make music that we thought was important and get to share it with people, and it's awesome. But we've done this for 10 years, and maybe only the last 6 or 7 touring, and only the last 4 or 5 touring a lot. But still, I mean, by now, any band that had any sense would have broken up by now. And we've stayed together because we like the music a lot. And even though we've never been a Stars or a Broken Social Scene and graduated to like much larger venues, like it's kind of been a cool thing to us that we get to make music that's very dear to people as much as it is to us, because we like our band. I mean, I'm a fan of our band. I like our music. And so, I don't know, it's just been a cool thing that we've done it a little differently, and we've done it our way. And so the fact that we're not doing it anymore, just the touring part of it, like, I don't know, I don't feel bad about it at all, and none of us feel like we regret the decision, because there's no one out there, you know, in the great giant out there, there's no one out there that's ever wanted to see the Analog Set that hasn't had half a dozen opportunities in the last, you know, 3-4 years. Yeah. Like, we've toured, if it's a city and it's in the Northern Hemisphere, like, we've played it a couple of times, you know, in the last couple of years. Like, we've been everywhere. I mean, it's not like, oh, you know what? Man, there's some kids in Croatia that really want to see us. We've been to Croatia. Like, we've been everywhere.
Yeah.
So, I don't feel like, you know, we're a bad band because we're not going to tour anymore. I think we've definitely done what we're going to do. And we've never been so good. Like, I'm really proud of our band right now. Like, again, tonight might be kind of a little weird because it's a barn inside there. But, I don't know. Like, if I could remember my band sounding a certain way, like, it would be playing these songs on this tour. Like, this is what our band does right. And so this is a great way to kind of finish it out.
Thanks for listening to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians. More information about our guest today, American Analog Set, can be found on their website, amandset.com. Music samples on the show are from their 2005 release, Set Free, and its demos. For information on this release, visit arts-crafts.ca. For more information, including a transcription of this interview, please visit IndieInterviews.com. For feedback on this podcast and materials used in this production, send your thoughts to IndieInterviews@IndieInterviews.com. Thanks again. See you next week.